Okay, Shavua Tov. So we're starting the piece on the Parshat HaKorbanot. Okay, this is more a piece in general about Korbanot. He says like this: Korbanot utfila, Korbanos and Tfila, Shnehem Po'alim al Chibur HaNeshama im Haguf. They both affect the joining together of the neshama with the guf. Except we'll see there's a difference between them. Now obviously the connection between Karbanos and Tefillah is obvious, right? And one of the reasons for the three Tefillos given, and then of course for Musaf also, is that the Tefillos were established connected the Tmidim, connected the Korban Tamid. And so davening is in place, so to say, or parallels is connected tefillah, connected korbanos. Obviously, we also have, it's really part and parcel of this, that ashlosha dvarim ha'olam omed, ala Torah ve'al avodah, ve'al gemilut chasadim, so that the avodah is referring to the korbanos, and today we don't have korbanos, it's the tefillah that we have in place of the korbanos. So Rabbi Yaakov Moshe is saying that what they particularly do, their specialty, so to say, of Karbonos and Tefillah, is activating a certain joining together of... The truth is, I don't even know if it's activating. They're working on this joint relationship between the body and the soul. And we'll see the difference. Elisha Karbonot merimim et haguf l'neshama, says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, that the Karbonos, they elevate the body to the neshama. Ki vaday sheish yachas pnimi ben hamakriv lekorban, because there's certainly an inner relationship between the one bringing the carbon and to the carbon itself. There's a relationship between the carbon and the person bringing it. Vaham korban u chelek miguf hamakriv mamash, and the carbon is literally a part of the body of the one bringing the carbon. I mean, when he says literally, it's in a non-literal sense, if I may say. What he's coming from, obviously, is mavur in the Rishonim already, that when we bring karbanos, so the kavana that we're supposed to have is as if we're bringing ourselves a karban, and this karban is just in place of ourselves. So in that sense, the karban is literally an extension of the makriv, of the one bringing the karban. So being that there is a connection between the makriv and the korban, so the idea is when we're bringing the korban on the mizbeach, we're bringing the korban up to Hashem, right? That's the idea. We're bringing it, we're ma'ala it onto the mizbeach. We're bringing it onto the mizbeach, which really ultimately means we're bringing it up to Hashem. So in that sense, we're bringing ourselves with our body up to Hashem. And that's the way the korban is working. Ve'ilu ha'tfilah morida et ha'neshama l'toch ha'guf. Whereas the tefillah does the exact opposite process. The technique is opposite. Over there, by tefillah, we're bringing down the neshama into the body. Ve'eshpoch nafshi lifnei Hashem. He bases it on the pasuk, I pour out my soul before Hashem. I guess what he means is the lashon of pouring out my soul indicates a downwards notion. So the neshama, the soul, the nefesh, is up above, and we're pouring it downwards, bringing it down into us. That's what it seems to me. He's learning it from this pasuk in that way. In any case, but ultimately, they're doing the same thing. You know, what's the difference if the body comes to the soul or the soul comes to the body? The end result is that they are unifying, they are joining together to become one. It says Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, "Val yidei shneim hakarbonos v'tfila." Through both of them, the karbonos and the tfila, zochim le'ilui haguf im neshama. We merit an elevation of the body with the neshama, so that when we bring, even by tefillah, when we bring the neshama down into the body, the idea is that through this, we obviously are elevating our body, because now our body has become, so to say, like the Sefer Torah, it has become a place of kedusha, a place of Or Hashem, place of the light of Hashem, that's the neshama inside of us. So in that sense, we have elevated our body, and that's of course the same thing which we do anyway by the Karban. We are elevating our body onto the Mizbeach, so to say, thus elevating our body to the neshama, to a neshama level. Hushnehem ke'echod mezukachim hema. And both of them together are purified, meaning the body and the soul. Libi uvisari yirannu el keil chai. My heart and my flesh rejoice to Hashem, to the living God. So that, I guess what he's saying is, libi is, I guess, the place more of the neshama, where we say like the ruach inside of the person, the neshama inside of the person, like resides in the heart, and the basa, the flesh, connotes the more physical aspect of the person. So both the more spiritual part of the person, which is, I think, symbolized by the lev over here, and the physical part of the person, which is the basar of the person, both of them, yirannu el keil chai, they rejoice, they praise Hashem, they're both right connecting to Hashem. Ukmoshi el atid, just the same way it's going to be in the future. V'nigle kvod Hashem v'ro chol basar yachtov kipi Hashem diber. That when the kvod Hashem, the glory of Hashem, is going to be revealed, and all the basar, all the flesh, right, all physical beings together are going to see the glory of Hashem, kipi Hashem diber, that the mouth of Hashem has spoken. So again, we see that that's basically the neshama is always obvious ruchniyusik. So the chiddush of the year of both the karbanis and the tefillah is that it's a way of bringing the body up to the level of neshama, where the body too becomes ruchniyusik, becomes spiritual, becomes experiences HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's the what's going to happen in the future, as is in that pasuk, v'niglek v'ed Hashem v'rochol basar yachtov. Not just that people are going to see, which would mean perhaps the hearts, the minds. No, the actual flesh is going to see the kipi Hashem diber. There's actually, I didn't bring it with me, and I don't think they have it here. There's a yeah. Oh wait, no, they have actually one of the volumes of the Leshem I see over here. The Leshem at the end of Sefer HaKlalim brings a medrash. It could be, I've quoted this in the past. He brings a medrash, and he brings psukim and then a medrash, and he says that, we experience our experience of Hashem today is intellectual, right? Not only that, Bechlal, our intellectual experience is in the head. Okay, so of course, also our intellectual experience of Hashem is in the head. Okay, he says that the entire body is going to become intellectual, including the feet. The feet, like every single limb in the body, is going to become an intellectual. It's going to have seichel in it. La'asad lavoi. That's how much man is going to become elevated. It's like, we can't fathom that, we can't imagine, what does that mean? We can't imagine that. But that's really encompassed in this pasuk, v'rol chol basar yachtov, that the flesh itself, the most physical part of the man, the most physical part of the creation, is going to actually see. See is an intellectual experience. It's both vision, and it's often used, including in this case, is used not just as eyesight, but the mind sight, that the mind sees something. So this pasuk really is, I don't remember if the Leshem brings this pasuk or not, but it certainly attaches to what that Leshem says. In general, I may have mentioned this in the past, but it's always important to remember that the Ramchal says that Adam Arishan before the Chet was on such a higher level of human experience that man, or Adam Arishan after the Chet, okay, the level that we are on today, what a human being is today, is what an animal was back then, meaning the entire cosmos, right, fell. So that man fell, and then the animal life fell, etc. So today, what a human being is what an animal was before the Chet of Adam Rishon. It's a pacha. We can't fathom what the world was at its initial state. And of course, Lasid Lavoi, we're going to even higher than that. So just gives you a little bit of a hint or remez to what the capabilities are in this body of ours and in this body and soul of ours, where the etzem we could get to and will get to. Okay. Any ha'aris or questions before we go to the next piece?
On that, it's when the Nachash spoke.
Right, the Nachash speaking, right? It's not just the Nachash speaking, that the Nachash was, you know, it had a certain arma to him, he had a chachma to him. He was trying to, you know, mess things up. He was trying to maybe steal a wife. He was trying to, you know, there was a chachma involved. Yeah. Okay, next. Yeah. No, so that's an interesting question, because exactly. When it comes to the Pia Asan, but that is actually, that's a Yesh Oimrim. Is that in the initial list? Where's the Siddur? Where's so Perik? I don't know. Perik Hey, Mishnah Ches. No, it's in the initial 10. So yeah. Anyway, so basically, I just, because not everyone heard, somebody, you know, was mayor, that the idea of the Pi Ha'asun, the mouth of the donkey, of Bilam's donkey, so that was able to talk. But over there, we said that the Mishnah says that was created by Bein Hashmashos. So what does it mean that it was created Bein Hashmashos? It seems, and that, the truth is, I think that's Mavur and other Sfarim. Is that, it's a good question, I know, we have to look into it, because I think I remember seeing in Sfarim that this was something special of the Nachash. The Nachash was above all other animals, and it wasn't like, this wasn't the typical animal in that sense, and that the others didn't necessarily have the Koach of Dibur. Huh?
Off the head, anyway. And Shmoshes on Friday was off the head.
That's true also. So it wouldn't be an issue, and it wouldn't be a question anyway. It would be that after Bein Hashmashos was after the Chet, and therefore it would fit that there needed to be. Okay, very good. So anyway, one way or the other, it would have needed to be created for because the story of Bilam would take place after the Chet. The question is, if the story of Bilam happens after Har Sinai, by Har Sinai the world was supposed to become rectified. Well, it was supposed to get there. We didn't actually get there. Yeah, but that's like okay. One way or the other, I guess we would say that it was made that even if the world is still in Plan B, that the mouth would be able to talk, the P.L.A. saying that. Okay, anyway. Fine. Weiter. Yehi ratzei milfanecha. So it brings the tefillah that some perhaps say in the Karbanos, for those who already say Karbanos, right? Yehi ratzei milfanecha Hashem elokeinu elokei aviseinu, sheterachem aleinu v'simcha lanu akol chateiseinu, that you should have mercy on us and you should forgive us for all our sins, and you should, another lashon of, you know, forgiving us for all our, you should cleanse us of all our sins, and forgive us for our psha'im, each one has a different category of sins. V'sivne beis hamikdash me'av yemeinu, should build the beis hamikdash quickly, speedily in our days. V'nakriv l'fanecha korban atamid sheichaper badeinu, and we should be able to bring the carbon before the carbon tamid before you, that it should bring forgiveness for us. Kamo shekasavta nevesar secha le'mashavdecha mepich v'adecha ka'amor, like you wrote in your Torah through Moshe, right? V'yidaber Hashem al Moshe leimar, Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, tzaves b'nei Yisrov hartalem, command the Jewish people and say to them, es korbani lachmi le'ishai, right, my carbon, literally bread for as an offering, as a sacrifice. Reach nichochi, right, which gives off an odor, a pleasant odor. Tishmeru, you should guard it, lakrivli b'mado, to bring it in its proper time, etc. So the focal point of this piece is on the issue of the karbonos bringing a reach nichoach before Hashem, which we find is one of the things listed in the Mishnah. One of the things that happened from a karbon is that it brings a reach nichoach. There's a reach nichoach involved going up to Hashem, this idea of a special smell going up. So says Rabbi Yaakov Meisha, bechet Gan Eden, the sin that took place in Gan Eden, meaning the sin of Adam Arishain, nifgemu evrei ha'adam v'chushav. The limbs of a person and his senses were blemished. Nifgam hadibur. The speech was blemished. Bezesh osifa Chava bidvareha, because of the fact that Chava added in her words velo tig'u bo, and not to touch it. Right? She was commanded. They were commanded just not to eat from the tree. There was no command not to touch it, but she added that no. So that you can't add it, you can't touch it. That's interesting. I don't remember that. She added it or he added it? For some reason I have in my head that he added it. Huh? Adam added it, right? Yeah, I think that Adam added it. There's a chumash here. There we go. He's talking about it's interesting, right? Because the she says it to the nachash, or mipriya etzag, right? Mipriya etzagan nochel, or mipriya etzag shebasochagan, or maralakim lo sochli memenu velo sig uboy pentumusun. So she added it. Do we find that Adam adds it before that? No. She's the one that added it. He just said, it says, Vayomer Isha. That's the Nachash. The Nachash speaking to the woman. She says, Hashem said, don't eat it. So she said, we're allowed to eat from all the trees of the garden. Just from that tree, we're not allowed to eat. We're not allowed to touch it. So she added it. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Rashi says that we see for that tzibug. The ma'isa, he was the one who made the gzera.
Well, Adam Arisha.
Adam Arisha made the gzera. Yeah.
Right, I also remember something like that. Okay, but in any case, the pashtus of the psukim and the whatever is that she added. Okay.
That's really not the machmir.
Well, no. Now, after the Chet of Adam Arishon, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe writes somewhere else, I think we learned it, maybe even in Chelek Aleph, he mentions that, I think. After that, then we get the Klal, Asu Siog Latera, Asu Mishmeres L'Mishmerti. Now where do we have to add in order not to get close? But before that, I'm just muting these. Okay. Before that, we didn't have the need. Once things got cooled off, if you remember, that's where Rebecca Moshe describes it, is that at that time it was so cut and clear. You don't need to put a siyag in something that's really, really clear, right? But because the world fell, and now we're kind of like, is anything going to really happen? It's like whatever. Now really you have to put a mishmeres that you don't come to the actual avera itself.
The problem is that Kabbalah said Omer Lakim. She said Hashem said it.
Right, right.
Maybe that's the problem. She's attributing that. If there are bones, nobody.
That might be relevant to today also, because a lot of times, if people don't learn in their learning of the halacha, they don't get clear what's a deraisa and what's a derabanan, and what's a minag and what's a chumrah. So that actually can bring to very big mechsholim. That could bring to very big mistakes, because the person thinks he's machmer on something. He doesn't realize that he's actually falling into a deraisa problem. So you have to actually get your bearings straight. That can have real ramifications. Okay, in any case, so getting back to the piece. So the dibur, the speech of a person was blemished through adding in the words v'lo sigul boy, not to touch. Nifgama hashmi'a. Now, it's interesting. When he talks about, I see over here, when he talks about the senses, he doesn't talk about the sense of taste. In place of the sense of taste, he talks about the sense of speech, like the koach of speech. Now, obviously, the sense of taste was also blemished because they ate from the Eitz HaDaat, right? So that clearly was also... So it's the mouth. He's going on the mouth. He took the speech aspect. We could equally take the taste aspect, which is one of the five senses the way we normally list them. Okay. Nifgima hashmi'a. The hearing of a person was blemished. Bezeh sheshama ledivrei hanachash. Because she listened to the words of the nachash. By listening to the words of the nachash, the hearing was blemished. Nifgima hari'iya. The vision of a person was blemished. Vatera isha ki tova itzle machal. The woman saw that the tree is good for eating. So her vision was part of the avera. So it was blemished, her sight. Nifgam ha'maaseh. The action of a person was blemished. We would translate this if we're using the five senses, into the touch, right? The sense of touch, which relates more to action, to doing. That was also blemished, as it says, "Vatikach mi piryo." She took from the fruit, "Vatochal," and she ate, "Vatitin gam leisha ima vayochal," and she gave it to her husband as well, with her, and he ate it as well. So, again, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe uses dibur and maisa instead of what we would maybe replace it with if we're trying to show the five senses, with taste and touch. What's missing? The sense of smell. Ach chushareach bilvad. By me it says L, but it doesn't make sense. By you, what does it say in the new edition over there?
L.
L. Doesn't really make sense. Avol. Should be avol. Avol chushareach bilvad, or ach chushareach bilvad. Only the sense of smell. Ekev romemus ma'alato. Because of the highness of its level, lo yochel haya nachash lagia, the nachash was not able to get there. Lechach lo nifkam b'chushareach v'nisha b'kdushas al yeina. Therefore, the sense of smell wasn't blemished and it remained in its high state of holiness. So, before we continue, this same yesod is explicitly written in the Bnei Yisachar on Adar, when it talks about Purim. He says Adar is, according to the Arizal, is the month that represents smell. And the redeemers, the Goalim of Purim, are Mordechai and Esther. Mordechai is from one of the Besamim, the Gemara says, the name Mordechai, right? Meredachia, from Mordror, which is one of the good smelling spices of the Besamim. And Esther, the Gemara says, the Pasuk actually says, Hadassah hi Esther, she was Hadassah. Hadassah is a rose, which is a good smelling flower. So they were both from the sense of smell in the month of Adar, which is the sense of smell, and he talks about the same exact yesod. He says the same thing, is that all the four out of the five senses were used in the chet of Adam HaRishon and Chava. One sense was not used, and that is the sense of smell, and therefore Haman represents the Nachash, as the Gemara Chulin says, Hamin Ha'etz. Right, Haman, min ha-tayr, min ha-la. How do you know the Haman from the Torah? There's a remez to him by the chet of the Eitz Hadas, where it says Hamin ha-eitz, from the tree. So that's Haman, Hamin, Haman, right? So he's he's the Nachash that in the story of Purim, and Mordechai and Esther have to save the Jewish people from that koach of the Nachash that was trying to attack them and really, you know, getting them at that time. And therefore, you had to have how do you get the geula from the nachash? You have to go to the place where he can't touch. That is the sense of smell. He didn't get it the first time, and he can't get it by Purim. So we apply the tremendous koach of smell, whether it's from the month or whether it's from the goalim, the redeemers, Mordechai and Esther, drawing from that big koach that the nachash never was able to blemish. They were able to attain geula, they were able to attain redemption, right? Now, the Ibnei Yisachar, though, does not, Rabbi Yaakov Moshe takes it one step further. The Ibnei Yisachar just says, it's a fact. The Chush HaReach was not blemished. He doesn't go the step further and say, why was it not blemished? Rabbi Yaakov Moshe is going one step further and he's saying, why was it not blemished? Because it's so high. Okay, that's a Tosefus, that's an addition that it doesn't appear, to the best of my knowledge, in the Bnei Yisachar. So, but that's what Rabbi Yaakov Moshe says, Ikiv Rama Musma Alase, because of its great, you know, exalted level, La Yachal Haya HaNachash Le'agia, the Nachash wasn't able to get it. It's not just technically the Nachash didn't get it, it's he wasn't able to get there. Therefore, it wasn't blemished, the sense of smell, and it remained in its high holiness. Anything of Kedusha, Ba'am Yisrael, in the Jewish people, anything of Kedusha by the Jewish people as a whole, or specifically by the Tzadikim, it develops from the aspect of the smell that remains, that stands in its purity and in its holiness. Like Chazal say, the tzaddikim smell an sweet odor of besamim of every mitzvah. There is a smell to mitzvahs, and the tzaddikim have that smell. They're in touch with that smell. Ayin Zara Kadosh Balakuf Peivavah Amud Aleph Bahu Yenuka. See the story of the Zara by that child. Shariach Malbushem. He smelled their clothes. Shaloi Karu Kriyashma Baynasa. The Yenuka was a very high neshama. It's called the youth, a child, whatever. He was a very, very high neshama, and they knew big secrets. And he smelled on the clothing of the people that he came into contact with in that story that they didn't read Kriyashma Bizmana. Mashma, they read Kriya Shema, but it wasn't in the right time. So that he was able to smell on their clothing. So big tzaddikim have that koach. Kach nema gamal geula sa'asid. So too it is said about the redemption of the future of Aricha b'Yiras Hashem, and they will smell with Yiras Hashem. Okay, that's I think actually it's talking about Mashiach over there. That there'll be he'll mamish like smell with Yiras Hashem, meaning that it's just like a real today reach for most of us doesn't have, well, besides Corona, but for smell doesn't give us that much knowledge, right? It's very, very limited. It's certainly would not be normally understood as a very telling sense. Okay, even though, yeah, you need to, you know, it's very important. Yeah, there's a gas leak, you want that sense of smell, and it helps you perhaps decide what foods are good for you and what not. And you know, if the motor is burnt out and you better stop that car before you just ruin the whole thing. It's certainly an important
both in English and in the Brit, we want to say that we feel something's not right. We say,
it's got a bad smell, right?
Especially if something smells bad about this muscle.
Right. So why?
Interesting. We use that. We always use that connotation.
Right. So, but yeah. But why do we use that connotation of it smells fishy? That's right. It's something that you can't put your fingers on, right? Because all the other senses are direct experiences. Whereas smell is something that we don't know where the smell is coming from. We can't place it. You can't, right? Even hearing, you can hear where direction it's coming from. The smell, you can't know what direction it's coming from. It takes, you'll have to walk around or whatever. So it's something which is the most detached from us, and therefore we use it in that sense. You know, I smell something's up. But in that sense, no pun intended in that sense, it's the least physical. Because it's the most detached from us, is the least physical. It's the most spiritual. And therefore we use it in that way when we're saying, you know, I sense something, it's something I can't put my fingers on. I don't have a physical objective way to explain this, but I do sense something beyond the physical that there's a problem here. And that's the the sense of smell. But the tzaddikim have such a refined sense of smell that they can smell the beautiful smell of mitzvahs. And that's going to be revealed, and that's part of the Geulas Ha'asid, V'aricha B'iris Hashem V'lachein, and therefore, says Rabbi Akamosha, Rak al yedei ha-karbonis, Shehem Ishei Rech Nechayach L'Hashem, only through the karbonis, which are called Ishei, right, a fire offering, whatever, Reach Nechayach L'Hashem, they bring up a good odor, to a sweet-smelling odor to Hashem, Mischaper Machatoim, through that, the sins become wiped out, the sins become forgiven, because of this tremendous level that of reach, the tremendous level of kedusha that the reach is on, the smell is on, that hasn't been blemished. Now, I just want to maybe end off with a kasha I have on this piece. It's not on Rabbi Yaakov Moshe, it's on the whole situation. I wouldn't even call it a kasha, I would call it a ha'ara. If I took the five senses, okay, And I use the Arizal. Okay, the Arizal talks about the Ozen Chotem Peh. That's a system that the Arizal talks about. I always find it amazing. The Arizal has a Shar in Eitz Chaim called Shar Achap, Ozen Chotem Peh. And what's special about the Ozen Chotem Peh is that they're related kabbalistically, and they form a system of Ozen Chotem Peh, where the Ozen in this system acts as the neshama level, the Chotem acts as the Ruach, and the Peh acts as the Nefesh. Well, I find that fascinating because medically today we have a specialty of ENT, ear, nose, throat. So I always call it the Dr. Achap. In my house, it's make an appointment by the Achap doctor. But it's actually fascinating, right? Because medically, they really work together, obviously, and that's why it's a specialty. but in any case, if we take these, so the Einayim, generally speaking, there's another, sometimes in general, the Einayim is a higher level. The Einayim is like the highest level. So it would be, Einayim would be, let's say, okay, it would be the highest, then the Ozen, then the Chotem, then the Peh. And the sense of touch, which is the most physical, least intellectual, right? It's like pure physical. That would be the lowest level. That relates to the body more. You do have sense of touch, feel, whatever, on the face, but the active touch is obviously the hands, perhaps the feet, whatever. So, I would expect, based on that, which is all Arizal, that the Einayim would be the highest level of Kedusha, because that's, Kabbalistically speaking, it's the highest level of the five senses. I would expect that should have been where the Nachash couldn't attack and couldn't affect, couldn't damage. Whereas the sense of smell, which is in the middle of the system, number three out of five, somehow that we're being told, wasn't attacked, wasn't damaged. And Rabbi Yaakov Moshe is saying it wasn't damaged because it's so high, meaning it's higher than everything somehow. So this is my kasha, and it's not just the kasha of Rabbi Yaakov Moshe. Really, it's a kasha on the Bnei Yisachar in that sense. Unless we'd learn if the Bnei Yisachar was just saying technically it wasn't damaged, but not necessarily because it's the highest. It's a little bit doichik to say that that's the story, because it is very, very mistabe, like Rabbi Yaakov Moshe saying that the reason that the Nachash, the Nachash was clearly interested in ruining everything. So the reason that he didn't ruin the sense of smell is probably because he just couldn't. Like Rabbi Yaakov Moshe is saying, because it's so high, so holy, right? We forgot to add this. The Gemara says we use Bisamim by Avdala because the sense of smell is the sense where the neshama is tali, nenis from it, that the neshama has the pleasure, as opposed to all the other senses which are more physical, right? This, like we said, is the much more spiritual sense. So this is my kasha on this thing. Like if you want to, anybody has a, think about it, dwell on it, to give you a kasha to work with. I thought a little bit, but it's, I'm admitting this is an answer that I'm being dochek. I'm trying to force an answer just because of the severity of the problem here. Okay, in other words, I wouldn't necessarily say this if I didn't have this problem, okay? But there's a concept that we find by the talus, where the Arizal explains that the talus, the beged of the talus, the actual cloth of the talus, is really, in deeper Kabbalistic sense, is coming from a much higher place than the tzitzis. But the tzitzis have a din of tashmish kedusha, have a certain level of kedusha. It's a tashmish mitzvah, really, but it has a certain level. It's the tzitzis, you have to be goynes, right? The beged, you don't. Okay, because he says the beged doesn't have any, it doesn't grab, it doesn't have kedusha. And the Arizal says, why? Because it's coming from a higher place. When it manifests itself down here, it's coming from such a high place that it can't find its representation. It can't become expressed here. It's coming from such a high place that this world doesn't allow its kedusha to become revealed, and therefore it stays concealed. Okay? Like the concept that's in Sifrei Chassidus somewhat, ribui oiris is choshech. If you have too much light, it's darkness. You go out without glasses into crazy sunlight, you're blinded. So if there's too much light, it doesn't become expressed here. So perhaps the Einayim and the Oznayim, they're so high, right? And really, that's what we use in intellectually. That's like the what we use for intake is really our vision and our hearing. The mouth is just used for us to give over. So maybe those are coming from such a high level, so therefore they're less likely to be injured down here because they're not showing up in such a spiritual sense, whereas the nose, which and the bottom ones, they're like really more physically oriented, the mouth and the sense of smell, okay? And the sense of touch, they're too physical, and just like the one in the middle is... could be injured, but yeah, it's like right in the middle. So it couldn't be injured, but it's still, its kedusha does become expressed. Maybe that would be an answer. Like dafka, because it's smack in the middle, it can, you know, it still becomes expressed its holiness down here, but can't actually be damaged. I'm willing to hear other answers. I'll be happy to hear about the answers next week. Okay, Shavua Tov.